Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. In the studio with me today, Bubble Boy and CJ. They are kind enough to join us for today's two-hour radio spectacular. And it is, once again, a very special episode of the big show. You know, last week we had a fun on the air birthday party. I celebrated a birthday. However, this week, if that weren't enough, I caught that new film, Tomorrowland. And I actually was lucky enough to see a little sneak preview of it on Thursday evening before it actually opened nationwide. And they gave me one of these pins from Tomorrowland. Now, if you don't know the story, George Clooney basically has access to the future with this little pin. You guys see this pin that I got on my shirt here, guys?
I thought that was a sorority pin.
Yeah. No, this is a Tomorrowland pin. Now, CJ, if you touch this... And by that, I mean the pin, by the way, just to clarify. We can actually go be teleported to the future. Are you ready for this? You want to give this a go and see if it actually works?
Do we come back?
Well, it only lasts for, you know, a certain amount of, you know, a few seconds.
And in pieces.
Well, not so much in pieces either.
Okay.
But we're going to give this a go and see. And you tell me what you see when we do it. So go ahead and touch it.
Okay.
The pin. The pin. Touch the pin, CJ. Ooh, what do you think? What do you see? Do you see what I see? We're underwater. Oh, there. See, that was...
give me some warning.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you know, by the magic of wearing the pin, I can actually breathe underwater. I should have told you guys to hold your breath before you did that, even though, you know, because we're not diving. We're just, like, underwater without scuba gear. Maybe we should do that.
That would have been
when we're wearing gear. Okay, so let's get the gear out of the studio, back in the studio. You guys gear up. We'll go back into the future, or in this case, in the future is underwater throughout the show today and share our experiences on the radio. How cool is that?
I think CJ perforated his eardrum.
No, I'm good. No, I'm
sure?
Fine, yeah.
Okay, because that would be bad to have that happen the second time. You know, as your dive instructor, I'd feel guilty, kind of.
So, one, no guilt. Two,
yeah. Two would be...
One is on me, two is on you.
Well, really, three is the limit. So, if you've
well,
already
it makes
done
you
it,
feel any better, I haven't done it since.
Okay, well, I don't really care.
And that was, God, probably 13 years ago?
Yeah.
No.
Quick, hold your breath. Here we go. Ooh, look at that. Look at that manta. That is so cool. Okay, there you go. So we can do this throughout the show today. This is through, you know, only on the world's first radio show devoted to diving could you actually be teleported underwater thanks to a Tomorrowland pen, which is now showing at theaters nationwide.
I at least want to get a mask so I can see.
Okay, well,
I don't necessarily need a regulator, but...
All right, we'll get geared up and do this properly later on. Now, also joining us via the web right now is my good buddy, Eric Douglas, who is an author. You know, he still does all kinds of dive training and safe scuba training. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. Hey, I'm a little concerned about you. You know, you're making an awful lot of rapid descents and ascents there. You better watch that.
Well, you know what? I didn't even check the depth gauge on this. I don't know how deep we're being teleported. I just know that we're underwater. For all I know, it could be, you know, in a few inches of water. Well, it seems deeper than that, though, doesn't it?
You know, I'd hate for you to get a time travel bins case. That would just be ugly.
Well, it'd be the first, And, you know, and we're kind of, you know, pushing the envelope and going where no diver has gone before or probably should go.
Don't you always do that?
Yeah, we do. Probably more than we should. Absolutely. But it's just what we do to amuse ourselves. Is it not, guys?
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. So Eric is getting ready to, however, go to the Cayman Islands to launch the latest Mike Scott novel that he's written. This is the official trip book signing party, right, Eric?
Exactly. Next Saturday, I will be, next Saturday by this time, hopefully, I will have already made a dive and have a rum punch in my hand, actually, setting at Sunset House.
Yeah, if we could tweak this Tomorrowland pin, we could probably save him a lot of airfare. But
that'd be nice.
I don't have that kind of flexibility with this. It's kind of like unharnessed power. So you still have to... You still have to rely on, you know, folks like Cayman Airways and things like that to get out there, I guess, right?
Yeah well, Delta in this case, but okay. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so what do you plan to do when you get out there, Eric, other than sign a few books?
You know, I'm taking as many books as I can carry with me, but next week is going to be about, or not next week, but I guess the week after next, is going to be about... signing some books and actually all the books that I am going to sign on the island are going to be, I'm going to donate the proceeds of that to the reef recovery effort there. And 100% of the proceeds, not a portion of it. But we're going to dive. We're going to have some fun, sign some books and have a little party and just be back on the island and getting wet again.
Well, let's talk about that. Are there some dive sites that you plan to patronize while you're out there on Grand Cayman? I mean, there's some old sites that you've been to many times before that I'm guessing you're going to go revisit, right?
Well, there's no doubt that I'll make a dive down to the go see Aphrodite, go see the mermaid, and I can't go to Cayman and not see Aphrodite, but and I've forgotten the name of the new one they put down just
a
year
Triton.
Or so ago.
It's like the
that's right.
Yeah, it's like a male version of the mermaid. It's you know, her male counterpart is on the west end of Cayman now, I believe. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Off of Dive Tech area, off that end of the island. And then of course you got Aphrodite, the mermaid, off of Sunset House. Which is
I've not been to see. I've never seen Triton in the water, actually, so I'm anxious to get over there and see that dive.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, one of the dives I want to hopefully do is I want to go see if I can work it out to go see the reef recovery effort and go see what kind of progress they're making from where the cruise ship dropped anchor.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. I mean, you kind of have written that storyline into your latest Mike Scott novel, so that's only appropriate that you should dive it, and that should be enough of. Incentive to let them or let you dive that area, I'm guessing.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, they'll make special accommodations, I would imagine, for Eric Douglas. And by the way, it's booksbyeric.com. You can get information about the latest novel, which is Return to Cayman. A really great book, two fins up for sure. You should read this book if you're a diver. Even if you're not a diver, you'll love it. But what else? I mean, are you just planning to spend the week kicking back, relaxing, and fitting in as much diving as you can? Is that the goal?
That's pretty much the goal. It's been almost 4 years, actually, since I've been to Cayman. So I'm looking forward. I'm taking my camera, taking a GoPro with me. And so I'll be shooting still and video and just want to spend some time underwater and blow some bubbles and just be a diver again.
Nice. Hang out at the tiki bar there at Sunset House after your day of diving. Share a few fish tails with friends, that kind of thing, right?
There will no doubt be some hours spent at my bar, one of the coolest bars in the Caribbean, as a matter of fact. There's no doubt. I'm going to patronize that lovely place as much as I can.
Absolutely. One of the coolest tiki bars on the planet, for sure, is right there at Sunset House. And, I mean, are you planning to just do a bunch of shore diving there, or are you going to head out on boats, or just it depends once you get out there and you'll make a plan?
You know, I've got a reserved spot every day with Sunset Divers with Sunset House. But, I actually hope to get out and visit with a couple other dive operations. I actually really hoping to at least spend a day out with Off the Wall Divers. A good buddy of mine owns that dive operation now, and I'd like to. There's a couple other operations I want to hope to hook up with, so I'll probably bounce around a little bit too, just to see as many people and just have some fun.
Very nice. I like your style.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? I mean, that's the kind of style that every diver on this, well, listening to this show right now would want to live, including myself.
It's been
way too long since I've been to Cayman. So you're going to have to go out there and kind of lay the groundwork for a, I don't know, upcoming scuba radio visit, or at the bare minimum, at least, you know, report back to us and rub it in that you're in Cayman and we're not, something like
well,
that.
Well, I'll do both. How about that?
Okay.
I definitely plan to rub it in.
Yes, but yeah, that's part of that's just pretty much goes with the territory when you do cool things like that, for sure. All right. Well, Eric, enjoy yourself. We'll look forward to that update, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend, okay?
All right. Thank
you,
Greg.
Yeah, booksbyeric.com. Go there. Pick up that book. Return to Cayman. Mike Scott, adventure traveler, scuba diver, journalist, and just super guy. Yeah, you're going to want to read all about it. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
So, tell me true. Are you guys for scuba?
What does that mean?
I'm like the unofficial scuba king of St. Bart. So, if you are for scuba, I take you out on the boat, I show you the coral reef, and we have kind of like a scuba party.
You know, that sounds great, but we're not certified, so we're going to have to pass.
That is no biggie. I get you resort certified, a couple of hours.
Oh, I have always wanted to try it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Guys, I see you have your masks. Are you ready to be teleported into the future thanks to my Tomorrowland pen? Are you ready?
Go for
it. This time you're going to be able to hold your breath and actually see what we see. Here we go. Touch it. Ooh, that is awesome. Oh, yeah. You're right. I'm not wearing any pants. All right, back to the present. What do you think of that?
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're a ridiculous person.
Well, that's just what I do. All right. Look, Robert is dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. Robert, you're on Scuba Radio. Welcome. What can we do for you?
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Good, man.
I called you a couple months ago with some short questions about shore diving botany. I just got back last Saturday evening.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, how was that?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, so shore diving in Bonaire, a lot of easy type of diving, clear water, good conditions, I guess, or what?
Yeah, well, I just, if I didn't go on a dive boat, I just dove around a hotel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, which hotel did you dive at? Where did you go, to Captain Don's, or where did you go? I remember.
Yeah,
this.
Captain Don's.
Yes. I've been there literally like almost 20 years ago, and it was a phenomenal place to go. So easy to just, you know, walk right outside your cottage there and walk down the steps of the dock, jump in the water, and have just a spectacular dive. Has it changed in 20 years, or is that what you experienced?
The only thing that I found was I lost one of my fins underwater. I had a fin that was too big, I brought with me, and I lost it on a dive.
Uh-oh. You lost what exactly?
A dive fin.
A dive fin? You lost one of your fins while you're scuba diving, huh?
Yeah, it was too big.
Ah, okay. Well, was it a rental?
It gave me a rental for a couple of days, and it worked beautifully.
Oh, I was going to say it was a rental. Who cares?
No, it was my fin. It was my own fin. They gave me a rental.
Yeah, well, that blows. I'm sorry to hear that, Robert. But you still had a great time regardless, it sounds like.
Yeah, my question is, I have a question about that in flying. When I took my paddy course,
they
did 18 hours for a surface airball.
Yeah.
From when you did your last dive to when you could fly.
Right.
When I went to Captain Don's, they suggested 24 hours.
Yes, well, longer is always better. Ask any woman. But
you got a sick mind.
Yeah, I do. But here's the deal, Robert. 18 hours is the standard of what we learn in our dive training, especially when it comes to just one day of diving. Now, a whole week of diving longer is obviously better. So the kind of the standard rule of thumb is if it's a multiple days of diving, you should try to shoot for that 24-hour number. If it's a single day of several dives and it's not multiple days of diving, 18 is usually plenty. And honestly, 18 is plenty usually, even if you're doing multiple days of diving and not doing like extreme technical stuff anyway. But longer is always better. So there you go. And hopefully that'll help you out in the future. The more time you can, put between your last dive and when you have to hop into an airplane is usually good. You know, usually on a trip like that, especially at a place like Captain Don's where you can do shore diving like that in Bonaire, the other element to it is what you can do is do all your diving, the first part of the week, especially the deeper dives. And on the last day, just plan on making that a snorkel day. I mean, God knows you can see a ton of stuff just snorkeling there in Bonaire, especially because a lot of it is shallow right off the shore there. So just plan your trip out accordingly like that and maybe plan the last day to do some snorkeling. And, it's kind of surprising. Us scuba divers, sometimes we have a tendency to, think that the snorkeling isn't really worth our time. But that's where you can be pleasantly surprised, and this has happened to me many, many times, where you go to a place that's really shallow, you don't really expect to see much, and then lo and behold, you end up seeing like spotted, eagle rays and God knows what else and things like that really end up blowing your mind. And you're like, my God, we're in like 5 feet of water, and we've been diving all week in like 90+. And, it's kind of like you need to stop and smell the coral sometimes, I guess, or whatever. You hear what I'm saying, guys?
I love it.
Yeah. You like that little anecdote, do you, CJ?
I like it. Anecdote?
Yeah. One of those, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Hopefully that helps. If you have any other more, if you're listening, you have questions like Robert, feel free to chime in anytime, 888-88-SCUBA. Matter of fact, a little bit later on after the Dan tip today, we have somebody who's going to join us who just got back from the Philippines. And, I love hearing about places that I haven't been, and Philippines is one of them. We definitely have that part of the world on our radar to visit with the Scuba Radio crew in the next year or two. We've been talking to the tourism authority there in the area, and we're trying to work out the logistics. It's quite challenging for us to take this goofy little radio show on the road sometimes, especially when it's halfway around the planet from Orlando, Florida. But we are planning that. And I, when I get these little reports from people that are fresh back from the Philippines, it's always fun to hear what they experience. And we're going to get that on the show today.
Are you going to learn Tagalog?
Am I going to learn to what?
Tagalog. the language.
I don't know. Let me touch my Tomorrowland pen. I'm looking around underwater. I'm not garlicking. I don't know. Let me get. Okay, I'm back. Now what? I couldn't figure it out.
Tagalog.
He's obviously deranged.
Yes. Well, that's a given. Explain. What do you mean?
That is the language they speak in the Philippines.
Says you.
Where did you get that crap?
Yeah, exactly. They speak Filipino, like you would expect in the Philippines, don't they, CJ?
Whatever you say.
I have no idea.
You don't know?
No.
Curly Johnson is on the record saying he doesn't know what the Philippines area folks speak.
I've seen pictures. I hear the diving's awesome. That's about all I know.
Well, sign language. We're going to be underwater not being able to speak anyway. So as long as they know what okay is and I'm feeling kind of wiggy, I'll just, wiggle my hand like I am underwater. Are you okay? I'm okay. That's all you need to know. That's the beautiful thing about diving is that, when you have to learn those underwater signals, it's kind of like a universal language no matter where you go on the planet. You hear what I'm saying, Bubble Boy?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, who needs to know these other languages? You don't need that. You just need to... Yeah, see? It wouldn't do you any good anyway.
See, what did that say?
That's what I hear most of the time when CJ and Bubble Boy say anything anyway.
I found a lobster.
I just give them my okay signal back, and they do it back to me, and we're good to go. All right, well, if this is any indication of how the show's going to go today, it's going to be a long one.
But strap in, boys.
Yeah, that's right. We get a little bubbly. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, we got some crazy technology working with us today on the show. I just saw that movie Tomorrowland, and they gave me one of these pins that when I touch it, I can actually be teleported to another dimension. Whether that's in the future or whatever, I was able to tweak it where we could actually go in into the ocean, like go underwater instantly. I got Bubble Boy and CJ with me. They're actually fully outfitted now. They put on their entire scuba gear. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, ready? Dive. There. Ooh, see, now I can talk underwater because I kind of tweaked this.
Please refresh
right.
The page and complete the verification to continue.
What the hell? We just saw some kind of weird alien type of thing underwater. You guys okay?
I think I got narked there a little bit, Craig.
That was wild. You never know what you're going to encounter underwater. That's what's beautiful about this kind of stuff. And a little disturbing at the same time. Anyway, what we do on the air is just what we do to amuse ourselves sometimes. But yeah, you can join us every week, and we appreciate that. Or you can come out and join us in person, like for a Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in October. October 3rd this year in the Turks and Caicos with our friends from Explore Adventures. We will be there with fins on. And we will be diving for an entire week doing the show, along with our friends from Dive Training Magazine. Carolyn, who is the editor at Big Cheese of Dive Training, is going to be giving some seminars on the boat and having a good old time for us with us, and sharing a few tips if you want to be published as an underwater photographer. And then also we have the Scuba Cowboy will be there, Mermaid Tiffany.
Now, where is this diving?
This will be in the Turks and Caicos.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Turks and Caicos on the Explore 2 liveaboard. It's going to be great. Matter of fact, Vinny Two Tanks is on the boat as we speak right now.
Oh, wow.
And he's doing a two-week trek on the Explore 2 as we speak, or Turks and Caicos 2 Explore as we speak, and then we'll report back accordingly. Coming up after a Dan tip, we have a fresh report from the Philippines. That's all coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Radio, diver's consumer tip number 109. You'll get no bacon from spearing a hogfish.
A pig, maybe.
And here's something else to consider. Brain coral cannot help you with a crossword puzzle or Sudoku. But mowing the lawn in snowshoes, well, what can I say?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Glad to see you made it here okay. Sorry I lost you on the way from the airport there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a good thing I had an extra set of directions.
Forgot you were following me and I got ahead of you in traffic.
It's all good, but it's a good example of why I have a backup plan.
And a nice segue into today's topic. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when you get separated from your buddy and the backup plan doesn't work.
Knowing what to do when a diver goes missing is an excellent skill to have. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with something simple. For whatever reason, you and your buddy get separated on the way back from the airport. I mean, the dive.
That's something you and your buddy should have discussed before you left the terminal or entered the water. You should have a plan in place that in the event that you're separated during a dive, you know what steps you'll have to take to reconnect.
Such as?
Such as agreeing that if separated, you'll immediately go to a designated point to rendezvous. Maybe it's an anchor or a scent line. Maybe it's at some other landmark you know will be on the dive. Another plan often agreed upon is that when you realize you've lost contact, search for about a minute underwater and then ascend and reconnect on the surface.
But the important thing is to know what you'll do and follow the plan, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens if you follow your reconnection plan, but you still can't find your buddy?
Well, then you're dealing with a missing diver. In that scenario, immediately notify anybody nearby, either on the boat or on the shore, that you've got a missing diver in the water. You should not undertake that search by yourself without a plan and support in place.
Since there's always the possibility the missing diver is having some kind of trouble, I'm guessing it's better to treat the matter as urgent?
Urgent, yes. Panic, no. Start by marking the spot where you came up with a marker buoy. And if you have some immobile objects around you, like a tree or a building or a rock formation, use them as reference points. Next, see if anyone can spot the missing diver's bubbles. If spotted, it really helps target the missing diver's location and where to start looking.
Assuming they have bubbles to spot.
Ooh, that's true. If the diver is using a rebreather, searching for bubbles isn't going to help you.
And if the bubbles are spotted?
Send a diver in to check them out. Meanwhile, you should be providing the support team with as much information as possible. What the plan profile was, what directions you intended to swim, what happened on the dive, and at what point you became separated. Anything that can prove useful in the search.
You can even be doing that while you're looking for bubbles, can't you?
Absolutely. And when you're looking for those bubbles, be sure to look in every direction, not just where you think the missing diver should be. Oftentimes, the separation is the result of a diver simply getting disoriented or lost.
What about enlisting the help of others?
The more, the merrier. If you're on a boat, contact other boats in the area to see if the missing diver mistakenly boarded the wrong vessel. And if they're not on anyone's deck, enlist the help of everyone you can find. If you're on shore, have others scanning the water, checking the surrounding areas. Believe it or not, sometimes the missing diver has simply gotten out of the water and returned to their vehicle.
And if all that doesn't help?
It's likely time to start the underwater search. Searches should be conducted in teams, both for the safety of the searchers and to ensure that the resources needed are available in case a rescue is involved. Search teams should not enter the water without a solid plan in place. The plan should include an agreed-upon search area, search pattern, and time limits. If there are enough divers available, organize standby dive teams to pick up where the first team leaves off and to lend additional assistance if it becomes necessary.
What about other divers in the water?
If they are part of the group, you may want to institute a recall or regroup and reorganize everyone back on the boat or the shore. They may be able to lend assistance in providing information about what was happening underwater, or profile permitting, they may be able to join the search. It's also possible that the missing diver will surface upon the recall, as the recall itself may be all that he or she needs to find their way back.
What procedures should the search teams follow?
They should always stay together, and they should never deviate from the plan they put in place. At no time should the searchers put themselves in danger while looking for a missing diver. Generally, the mark spot is used as a starting point, and the search expands in an agreed-upon direction from there.
There are different search patterns you can use. Which one should you?
Well, it really depends on the topography of the dive site and the conditions and visibility, but the most commonly used patterns include the U pattern, expanding squares, and circular search patterns. If a dive is being done in a specific or concentrated area, like a wreck for example, you may simply have several dive teams doing random searches, but more often than not, a more formal approach is used.
Hopefully, at some point in all this, the missing diver will be found. But if the unfortunate occurs and he's not?
Then it's time to call the authorities. In fact, you can call them at any point in this process. If you feel like you need additional assistance, don't hesitate to call for it. When you're looking for a missing diver, you know you're working against the clock, so use whatever resources you have available to you.
And hopefully it'll come out all right.
In most cases it does. Most missing divers are usually just buddy teams that got separated for one reason or another. Sometimes it's preventable, sometimes not, which is why it's crucial to communicate with one another before you enter the water and stick to the plan you create.
And if you're following me from the airport,
bring a GPS.
Right. The search for a missing diver is something that should be undertaken quickly, but with a plan. Use whatever tools you have handy to help in the search, and don't be afraid to ask for help. But do your best to avoid going missing in the first place. Know the plan you and your buddy are to follow, and stick to it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And you know, there's not many people that I would be envious of, because I got a pretty good gig doing the show every week and be able to talk about diving, traveling around the world, tell you about what I see and that kind of thing. But every once in a while, I come across someone that I do get quite envious of, and this guy definitely falls in that category. Jeff Bloomer is on Scuba Radio now, connected via the web. We just got back from the Philippines. Jeff, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
I'm great, Greg. Hey, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. So, Jeff, first of all, you're in Ohio, and so I'm sorry about that, but you were in the Philippines, which was a little better, right?
It was great. It was great, Greg. We were there for just 2 full weeks of diving, and yeah, we hit 2 different islands and 3 different dive locations.
All right, and you did this over a 2-week jaunt, or how long of a period did you spend out there in those?
We were gone about a total of 15 days with the travel and all, but yeah. Full 7 days of diving on 2 different islands.
Very good. And then, let's kind of run through this whole itinerary chronologically. I guess that's as good a way as any, because I want to hear about this, because that is a place in the world that I haven't been to yet that's definitely on my diving bucket list. And I'm guessing that was the case for you before you left, too. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. So, so we flew out of the Chicago area, actually, and 13.5-hour flight to Seoul, South Korea, with a 4-hour layover, and then another 4.5-hour flight down to the island of Cebu in the Philippines.
Okay. So, Cebu, a big city, not hard to fly into, or is it kind of rustic, or what? What do we, paint a picture for me there, Jeff?
Yeah, so Cebu Cebu is actually the island, and it's also Cebu City is there, which is the main city on that island.
Okay.
And it's, population-wise, I don't know exactly, but I'd say it's got to be at least 100,000 people or so. So it's a pretty good size area.
Yeah, okay. So you get into that area and, decompress a little bit, and what, hop in a car and drive to a resort, or what did you do?
That's exactly right. We drove 4 hours north so that we could jump on a ferry and start our diving adventures over in Dumaguete at the Atlantis Resorts.
Ah, okay. Now, I've heard a lot about the Atlantis Resort. My buddy John Boozer actually represents that property at a lot of the dive shows that I visit, and I've talked to him quite a bit. Seen the pictures. Looks quite tropical, quite lush as far as rainforest and that kind of thing. Is that what you experienced or what?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful resort, fantastic staff, and everything good you've ever heard about them is well-deserved.
Yeah, and it is one of those kind of places where you're in the rainforest. There's like a local villagers or and stuff around, kind of like a Fiji kind of thing. Am I right, or am I getting it mixed up with something else?
No, you're pretty close. It's out on the edge of a small, very small town, sort of secluded. There are a couple other resorts up and down the beach, but it'll be a fair hike to get to one of those.
Yeah, okay. So you have a little cultural exchange with some of the locals in between diving or on your surface interval, it sounds like, right?
Oh, absolutely. You could walk into the town or you could catch a little. They have these little jeepneys or little trikes, these little motorized scooters going up and down.
So. Nice. Sorry, Jeff, hold on. Let's take a quick break and we'll talk more about what he saw in the Philippines next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
As part of its Women in Diving initiative, PADI is proud to present Women's Dive Day, a special day to celebrate female divers and their contributions to the sport. The purpose is simple. Get more women together, involved, and interested in scuba diving. All are invited to participate in Women's Dive Day on July 18th. Women and men, let's make this a day of diving we can all enjoy together. Visit PADI.com/women-dive to find a dive or event in your area. That's PADI.com/women-dive.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Somewhere in the middle of the 7 mile bridge, he said, Bella, do you want to see the rest? She said, I haven't a care, Lenny, just take me there. And they drove all the way to Key West.
I want to go.
U.S. 1, heading down U.S. 1.
Hi, this is Mermaid Tony from the Florida Keys. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now, here's the guy who's the reason I won't drink another Jaeger bomb.
You just wake up in a room and have no idea where you are.
Until the next time we meet.
All right, who wants to party?
Greg, the Dive Master.
Who's known as having the silkiest, smoothest voice in the 90s.
Giggity.
Yeah. You know, that's Mermaid Tony, and We're actually working on a Scuba Radio Mermaid reunion. We're talking about doing that around the DEMA show in November, maybe even at Bugfest in Fort Lauderdale. So we'll have a full report for you on that accordingly as it as the details become available. But it could be quite interesting. It could be a fight. I don't know.
Mermaids? Do you have a number?
It's like we have like 20 of them.
Whoa.
Scattered around the... around the country. Here we're talking about Mermaid Nikki, Tony, Denise, Abby. I mean, the whole crew.
Let's get naked.
Okay. It could happen. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter with mermaids. You can't see anything anyway. Just their tails. Anyway, we got Jeff Bloom on the show. Jeff Bloomer, he just got back from the Philippines. And he's telling us about his visit. Sounds quite interesting. We got there. He basically laid the groundwork of how he got to the resort there in the Philippines, Atlantis. Sounds like quite an attractive place just to go out and chill. Am I right there, Jeff?
Absolutely. You know, nothing better than hanging out at the Atlantis. And when you're done with your diving, you can belly up to the bar and having a nice adult beverage.
Well, there you go. And of course, that's after your day of diving is done. But let's talk about that. What kind of diving did you experience there in the Philippines?
So the Atlantis is known for muck diving,
okay.
Which for the uninformed, that's it's basically you're diving across large sandy areas,
yeah,
and looking for all these really incredible, bizarre animals.
Yeah, you know, muck rhymes with yuck, but it's actually quite entertaining type diving. It's just the geography is kind of plain and just a sandy type, muddy muck type bottom, right?
Yeah, basically it's sand and some silt, but I've never seen so many seahorses and frogfish in my life.
Yeah.
So the Philippines, I coined the little phrase that the Philippines are where the weird is common.
Where the weird is common. I like that. And yeah, so you can go there and take your underwater camera, get some amazing shots. I mean, frogfish are some of the strangest looking critters underwater that I've ever seen. So you saw a bunch of those, I guess, huh?
Many, many of all sizes, from the almost microscopic to the giants.
Really?
And, okay. Yeah, and it's not all muck diving. There's a couple of man-made reefs. There's some other reefs nearer that they visit. And then there's two islands, the island of Apu, and then the island of Sikihor, that is kind of wall and reef diving.
Interesting. Okay. And is it all the sites you need to go to by boat, or is there some shore diving there as far as the muck diving and that kind of thing, or what?
You can shore dive right off the front of Atlantis, but I'll tell you what, for a shore dive, they just soon just load you up on the boat and push off about 20 feet and have you jump in.
Okay, just makes it easier. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's hard to believe anything would be easier than shore diving, but I guess that's one way to do it. If you're going to be on the boat, at least you have a dry surface place you can go back and forth from. And what about the depths? I mean, if you're doing the shore diving, obviously that's probably not very deep, I'm guessing. Am I right?
You're right. Yeah, I think the deepest we ever dove right there at the Atlantis was probably 60 feet.
Okay. All right. So nice, easy diving. Not much in the way of currents and stuff either, or what?
Little to no current and just great long bottom times.
Excellent. Well, that's the best kind of diving there is for sure. So you spent how much time there at Atlantis? Did you do your whole time there, or did you go somewhere else?
We spent 7 full days at Atlantis, and then we transferred over to back to the island of Cebu to Lapu-Lapu City, and stayed at the Shangri-La Resort and dove with Scotty's Dive attached to the Shangri-La.
Okay, so, Scotty's Dive, okay, they're the dive concession for Shangri-La is what you're saying.
Correct.
So how did that differentiate between that and what you'd seen at Atlantis?
So the diving at Shangri-La is your traditional wall and reef diving. There's no muck diving to really be had.
Yeah.
But it was the location where I was able to find and photograph the pygmy seahorses, which I'd long wanted to do and finally got the opportunity.
Very nice. So pygmy seahorses, really tiny seahorses that I can't even see without my cheaters. Is that what we're talking about here or what?
They were quite a bit smaller than I had anticipated, maybe about the size of a grain of rice.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So if you can see them, it's awesome. And obviously, if you can photograph them, even then I can see the pictures. I can even pull out my cheaters and see them. But, yeah, that's the thing that's been frustrating about pygmy seahorses. I don't even bother anymore because I can't see that detailed. And those critters are too damn small for me.
I just spent the morning getting all my photos posted to my website. So, Greg, at some point you want to take a peek out there, you're more than welcome.
Well, yeah. Well, can you share that, Jeff, with everybody, or would you prefer not to?
No, I absolutely can.
Okay, what is it?
It's jeffbloomerphoto.com. So,
okay.
And Bloomer spelled B-L-O-O-M-E-R.
Easy enough.
Yep, and then photo, no S. .com.
Okay, excellent. Well, Jeff, thanks for the update. Appreciate it. And next time you go someplace and you want to call in and rub it into me, please do so. Okay?
Absolutely, Greg. I appreciate the time.
You got it. There you go. You know, that's what we do. We share dive stories, fish tales with friends here on the big show every week. And if you have one, feel free to contact us, info@scubaradio.com, and we'll treat you like we treated Jeff. How about that? And we treated him pretty well, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, you were very nice.
Of course we did.
Very gentle.
For once, yeah. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.